This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlot. Rebecca Cruz, welcome back to Norman after our around-the-world travels. And Joshua Landis, welcome back to the roundtable.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. So we are going to start with the big news. We've been waiting for this for some time, Joshua, and that is the Syrian peace talks. So first time ever, the Syrian opposition, the Syrian government are sitting down together. The international community is there. The world is watching. What are we expecting to happen? Because it's not going so well so far.
Well, we've got two dramatically different narratives coming out of this. John Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry, opened the conference by saying Assad has to go. He cannot possibly be president of Syria anymore. The Syrian delegation said we're making jokes about the opposition, saying that Assad will run for elections in this coming year. There's supposed to be elections. And he wants to talk about terrorism and how are they going to stop terrorism, which is what he calls the rebels that he's facing. So we've got two different sides. The rebels asking for Assad to go, supported by the United States. Assad saying, no way, I'm going to run for president. I'm here. So there are big differences. This raises a question of what can you get out of this? You could get out greater movement for aid workers and perhaps some ceasefires. The problem is once you begin negotiating a ceasefire, if you leave Assad in place, you're partitioning Syria and partition is the word that nobody wants to use. But oddly enough, the night before the meeting, the Kurds, who make up 10% of the population of Syria and have their own militia and have broken away in the very northeast, announced that they have an autonomous government. They're going to have elections in 4 months. And they weren't invited to this. They're blaming America for that and the opposition who don't want to muddy the waters with a Kurdish issue. And so they just unilaterally declared autonomy. So things are happening, but we're a long way away from any kind of a ceasefire.
So a long way away from stopping the killing. I mean, 100,000 people have been killed at least, right,
many,
in Syria at this point, more than
that.
So, I mean, this is atrocious. And yet Assad sits there in a position of power, really. It seems like he's been empowered through this whole thing. He's got stronger allies. He's still president. You know, what is it going to take for him to back off or to stop the killing?
Well, that is a very good question. And, you know, the whole world, once this revolution didn't go the way of Egypt or Tunisia and there wasn't a Tahrir Square moment where the government fell or the army turned against the president, everybody in the opposition looked to the United States and began to beg for intervention of some kind, whether it was through arms, through the American Air Force, giving money. And the United States refused to do it. We've intervened to a certain degree. We've given some help. But $2 billion is probably the amount of American help. You compare that to the Iraq War. At the height of the Iraq War, we were spending $2 billion in every 2 or 3 days. So President Obama basically has cut Syria loose. We have diplomacy, and that's what Kerry is trying to work on. But nobody can figure out. It's a mystery how he can say that Assad has to step down without sending F-16s to Syria.
I mean, would you say the international community has really failed in this case? I mean, they can't stop the killing. The diplomatic effort has been absolutely atrocious, that they've completely failed in this case.
Well, it's true.
I mean, Ban Ki-moon sits there, the United Nations sits there, and they're complaining about how long the speeches are going on and on. You know, I mean, is this really all the diplomatic faux pas going on during the diplomacy and just terms of the response to, you know, how long does the foreign minister of Syria get to speak? I mean, this just seems like crazy. Let's get to brass tacks, right? Let's talk about how we're really going to solve this problem.
Whether the Iranians should be invited to this, and ultimately the Iranians are the major backers of the Assad regime. The Saudis are the major backers of the rebels. Most of the money and arms going into Syria are coming from those two actors. And until they sit down and begin to agree on what's acceptable to them in Syria, their clients are going to have a hard time sitting down and agreeing.
Yeah, but the opposition said they wouldn't come if the Iranians were at the table. Right. So
that's true.
It was a requirement for the opposition to even come and partake of the discussions. The Iranians could.
What we've got so far is the admission of all sides. There has to be a political solution. Otherwise, they would not be there. If they thought they could win militarily, they wouldn't have gone to Geneva. Everybody understands at some point they're going to have to sit down and discuss. They're positioning themselves. The opposition still hopes that the United States is going to get rid of Assad for them at some level. And the Syrians still hope that Russia and China, they're going to come through and be able to reconquer the country. But chances are they aren't going to be. For 2 years now, we've had a stalemate. There are battle lines that are there, and most wars end when you can't, you know, you recognize you can't conquer your enemy. And we aren't there yet in Syria, but we're making steps towards that.
Well, we've been waiting to see what's going to happen, and we wait some more.